The following segment is from the off-day debrief on the SB Nation NFL Show, where we're discussing your favorite team. Subscribe to the SB Nation NFL Show to make sure you don't miss conversations like this one.
All right, BLG, so we do the show last week. I thought it was a good show. I was proud of it. I know you were proud of it. We got a lot of good feedback. I'm going about my business, and all of a sudden, I get a notification on my phone from Twitter that says someone mentioned me. And I look, and it's a tweet from Kyle Barber of Baltimore Beatdown, and it says quite simply, all right, I'm here to argue with Stats and BLG. I just finished the Oddcast number 38, and I'm here to defend Lamar Jackson. If it has to be on Twitter, fine, but I'll also happily join your pod if you'd be so inclined to have me. Well, Kyle Barber, we are so inclined to have you. We thank you for the time. I've got the boxing gloves ready to go. Let's touch gloves and come out fighting.
I was going to put on the UFC gloves. I figured there's going to be some more kicking and some more, you know, violence than just boxing. Boxing's getting a bad rap right now. All they got is YouTube stars swinging at old UFC fighters and former basketball players. But overall, I'm very happy to be here, and I appreciate you guys having me on. I mean, that's pretty awesome to be able to join you guys. It's a podcast that I've been listening to since day one.
Don't try and smooth it over now.
Oh, I'm not smoothing anything over. I'm still very frustrated with what you have stated. I'm only saying that I've been on this. I've been listening to this podcast, whether I'm driving for Uber, whether I'm hanging out in the house, whatever it may be. I appreciate the pod, and I'm very thankful to be a part of it as well. But I'm ready to fight, Stats.
I feel like we got to get into it. First of all, Kyle, I just want to thank you from my part for joining us. And obviously anyone who is among Kyle's state of mind where they're listening to us and they're angry and argue, I mean, come on, we'll do it here. And I think that's the fairest way to do it. Let's get into it. What I think was your umbrage from listening to us talk about Lamar Jackson?
You stated, BLG,
yes,
I have Lamar Jackson on here. And what here means from last week's episode was most pressure to perform in 2021. And you stated, we haven't seen the playoff success from Lamar. Just because he hasn't won as many games as you would like doesn't mean that he has not been successful. I understand that there's a difference between being successful in the regular season and the postseason. But overall, he is 24 years old. He's the second ever unanimously selected league MVP. And there's no doubt in my mind that the Baltimore Ravens aren't re-signing him, which was another part of you guys, you gentlemen's discussion, which was, do you re-sign Lamar if he does not win a playoff game? It's not whether or not he wins a playoff game. It's the team winning a playoff game. And they struggle to do so. I mean, quarterback wins are not a quarterback stat, but it's unfair to also put playoff wins for Jackson as well when, like, wins aren't a QB stat. It's a team stat. There's three phases of the game. There's offense, defense, special teams. And I thought it was unfair to put that on Lamar Jackson when he's 1-2, 1-3 in the playoffs. And what do you got for me?
Well, I'll start off by reiterating here, Kyle, that Lamar Jackson, regular season quarterback, no question. Excellent, elite level kind of player in terms of success. I mean, for quarterback wins not being a stat, I will say, you know, he's 30-7 as a starter in the regular season with a 102.6 career passer rating. You mentioned the MVP. There's no doubt. But I mean, the playoff success hasn't been there. I mean, we don't talk about playoff games. He's won one playoff game, singular. He's 1-3 in the postseason, as you know, passer rating of just 68.3. You know, obviously he brings rushing value as well, but he has five fumbles in the postseason. And I just feel like the way I was looking at this, Kyle, more recently is like, what is the precedent? Like, what is the template for a quarterback who has been very successful in the playoffs after they had such a poor start? And like, I can't think of one. I was going through some with Stats here before the show. We looked at like Peyton Manning because he got off to a slow start. But again, one of the best regular season players of all time. He's 14-13 in the playoffs. You look at Matt Ryan, similar boat. He's 4-6 in the playoffs. Tony Romo, losing record in the playoffs. Like, who is the quarterback that struggled out of the gate in the playoffs and then went on to be this like great playoff quarterback?
That I don't have an answer for. Nicely done. You cornered me. You locked me in here. You got the haymaker landed. Nicely done, BLG. But you still are saying like, quarterback wins here. Like, you're still stating like Lamar hasn't won these games. Well, Lamar in that first season joined a 4-5 team and drug them to 10-6. And I understand it's the regular season, but it was mainly on the shoulders of him and the rushing offense and what he created, because Joe Flacco certainly wasn't being able to produce there. And then they run into the Chargers, which faced him 2 weeks prior, and they had the tape on him. They were the first team to be able to play him twice and to analyze the film of their team specifically being able to perform against him. But overall, the Ravens are all in on him. That was another thing that you gentlemen were mentioning, is like whether or not to go all in on him. They've been all in since he became the starting quarterback for him. They changed their offensive scheme for him. They drafted players that he could be complimented by. They've drafted more wide receivers in the first round than they've ever done previously. They drafted Marquise Brown. They just got Rashad Bateman. They're trying to supply him with weapons and with offensive line talent. They re-signed Ronnie Stanley for him. And yes, that could be just looked at as, you know, signing a left tackle for any quarterback, but overall, they are 100% in on him, and I don't see any way that the Ravens, even if you know, they go 10-6, they go 12-4, they go 17-0, you know, and then they lose in the first round, Jackson's still going to be the quarterback for the Ravens. There's no way you can find anybody like this or stumble upon a Jackson tier quarterback or a level of production that he produces. There's no chance of it.
So my thing here would be, you know, you're talking about how it's not just about Lamar Jackson, it's the team. But I mean, the reality is, Kyle, like, Lamar Jackson's the one who's going to be getting the record-breaking contract. He probably might be the highest paid quarterback in NFL history, like, when he gets his deal. And that's like, that's a big deal. And then all of a sudden, when you're doing that, then the team around him, you're not going to have the same kind of assets that and like resources that you've been able to surround him with now, because all of a sudden you're paying that hefty quarterback contract. So that's my big thing. And that's important in the playoffs. Like, you need, if you're going to be paying a quarterback, you know, that kind of record-breaking money, you need a guy who isn't just going to perform at the level of how the team is playing around him, but to elevate the team. And I just don't think we've seen Lamar do that in the postseason. I agree with you that, I mean, they're probably going to sign him to this deal because that's what teams do. So, Kyle, I don't know if you can respond to that.
I can do a quick response if you'd like.
Sure.
The first Titans game, his pass catchers dropped 7 passes. The first was a tip from Mark Andrews, which was intercepted by Kevin Byard. Willie Snead dropped a 3rd-and-12 pass, which arguably gets a first. He's right near the line on it. And Seth Roberts dropped a pass that would have been a 74-yard touchdown. Lamar can't make his receivers catch the ball. They didn't have more than, I believe, 10 drops during the 14-2 season. And then they have 7 in a singular game, and that puts him out of contention for being successful. He tried to elevate his team. He hit players in the hands. You know, even my middle school football coach, because that's the only talented level that I got in football, said if it hits you in the hands, you got to catch it, no matter what. If it hits you in the hands. And he was hitting NFL caliber receivers, tight ends, in the hands, and they were falling down and touching the turf instead of moving the chains.
Well, so that gets into a larger issue, because I would argue that the Ravens haven't really had NFL quality wide receivers in the Lamar Jackson era. It's frustrating to me. They seem to be frustrated by it. They recognize it. They tried to get Juju Smith-Schuster. That didn't work out. He said thanks, but no thanks. They tried to get T.Y. Hilton. He gave you the stiff arm. And I think it's because the system they run there, receivers do not want to play in that system. They don't get enough opportunity. Marquise Brown is liking and retweeting things on Twitter about how the receivers don't get the opportunity. They were dead last in the league last year in targets to wide receivers per game, less than 14. So how are you going to get the wide receivers that are going to catch those balls instead of dropping them if nobody wants to play in that system?
You draft wide receivers like they've done with Marquise Brown, with Rashad Bateman, Miles Boykin. Some of them turned out to be talented, some of them not so much. Boykin struggled, I understand that. They've drafted, you know, running backs. They've drafted tight ends. They had Hayden Hurst at one point before they traded him. They have Mark Andrews, Nick Boyle. They have weapons there. I understand that they're not the most successful weapons, but the Ravens have struggled to draft far before Lamar Jackson was even considered an NFL prodigy. They struggled to do so with Joe Flacco. They struggled to do so back with Kyle Buller and far beyond. So they've never been successful at that. And that's something that they've been trying to take more swings at. That's what Eric DaCosta stated, is that they're trying to find NFL caliber receivers through the draft, because as you guys mentioned, with his contract coming up, yeah, it's going to cost a lot. So what do you got to do to fix that? You have to find rookie talent, and they're finding offensive rookie talent at premier positions, trying to get him people that'll catch the football when he throws it and it hits them in the hands. So that's where it struggles. And I understand the scheme is different, but John Harbaugh talked about this as well. And if you want the stats and if you want the numbers, but if you want those parts to football, if you're wanting to catch touchdowns and you want to be this highlight reel player, you know, the Ravens might not be for you, but they're going to win football games. They're going to win football games. They're going to get into the dance frequently. And that's what they've done year after year, far before Lamar Jackson. And they've continued to do so with Lamar Jackson.
Shouldn't the Ravens be paying Lamar now, though? Like, if it is this inevitability that they're going to sign him, like, don't you want to get him signed now? And like, because he's not going to get any cheaper in theory unless he's really bad. But then you're not in a position where you're really then excited to pay someone who's coming off a bad season. So I guess, like, when should the Ravens pay Lamar?
I believe as soon as possible, just as you mentioned. They are already in contract talks with him. He doesn't have an agent. I believe he and his mom represent him. So they're working on a deal, and it was previously mentioned when Lamar was at the podium, I believe last week, that a deal is trying to get worked on. He loves Baltimore. He wants to be here forever, said all the right things, and he's going to get paid. The Ravens love this quarterback. They have their future and their present with Lamar Jackson. There's no need to move on from him. I don't see why that was mentioned, that you debate if he doesn't win a playoff game in 2021, should you pay Lamar Jackson or should you maybe walk and try to find somebody? Stats said you could just look to the draft or you could try to find somebody else. That is not easy to do. We've watched team after team try to just find their quarterback. We've watched John Elway stumble through with the Broncos for the last upteenth years after Peyton Manning. We see teams year after year struggle to find their quarterback, their guy. Lamar Jackson's the guy. I assume both of you guys' squads would like to have a Lamar Jackson talent on there. I mean, he's a little bit better than Jalen Hurts. I understand that you know, the Niners might not have the scheme for him, but he most certainly would elevate any team that he's on, I believe.
So a couple of things here, because you mentioned two different angles I want to get to. One, you talked about the scheme, and I like that the Ravens have gone all in. But I just wonder, like, it's one thing to zig when everybody else is zagging, and it's another thing to just not scheme your offense geared toward the rules of the league that you play in. Like, everything in the league is geared toward the pass game. Everything. You can't touch receivers. You can't touch quarterbacks. It's never been easier to pass the ball, and the Ravens are going in the complete opposite direction with their offensive system, which is a little crazy to me because we've seen Lamar lead the league in touchdown passes.
That is true, but they did so with the scheme that they had. They ran this scheme that was very heavy in rushing. They have talented running backs and tailbacks and fullbacks and Pat Ricard being able to rush for NFL record-breaking amounts. You know, they shattered the all-time NFL rushing record by a team, and they did so, and they were throwing touchdown passes as well. They're successful in it. And yeah, it's not wide receiver structured, but if a tight end catches a touchdown pass, is it any more or less valuable than if a wide receiver catches that ball?
So my part of this, going back to like the contract part of it, Kyle, is that, and like questioning like if you can pay him if he doesn't win the playoff game, I just think it's crazy, like conceptually. And it could be a situation where Lamar very much is the best option and the loss isn't his fault necessarily. And this is, you know, assuming they get to the playoffs. But like, it's just like when you're just at the end of the day, when you're just looking bottom line and you're seeing a quarterback who, let's say they make to the playoffs and they lose in the first round again. Or whatever, they get the bye. They lose their first playoff game. And he's 1-4 in the playoffs at that point. And you're giving this guy, again, it's probably going to be the most lucrative contract in NFL history. I would just argue, like, the place you don't want to be in the NFL is when you have this big money quarterback and he can't get it done in the postseason. Then you're just stuck.
I completely agree with that. The Ravens are one of the testing samples of that with Joe Flacco. They were off in their arguments against one another, I believe, by $3 million before the season had started. And Joe Flacco didn't want to sign the deal. He bet on himself, and he threw 11 touchdown passes, zero interceptions, and won a Super Bowl Super Bowl 47, won the Super Bowl MVP.
We are all aware that Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl.
Who did they beat?
They beat both the San Francisco 49ers and Roger Goodell when he tried to shut out the lights to stop the absolute blowout that game was.
Please, if James Jones, that kick return, gets called back for the blatant hold that happened, it's a whole different ballgame.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Jacoby Jones was talented. He produced an awesome display on the field during that game, and I see no issue with that.
He should have been the MVP.
I believe so. I agree with you there. I definitely agree with you there. But getting back to this contract discussion that you're on, the Ravens have been wanting to, I assume, sign him for the last few months, and they're working on a deal. The difference between signing him 3 months ago and now hasn't really changed much, just because the only deals that have come out was Mahomes last year or 2 years ago.
Last year.
Okay, thank you. And like, until it's Josh Allen signing his deal or Lamar signing their deal, it's just there's nothing changing about the timing and the size of that contract. If he plays through this season, that could change, and it's very dependent upon his production, and they could either win that gamble or they could lose it like they did with Joe Flacco previously. I agree with you that if you sign a quarterback that's not successful in the playoffs, in the postseason, that your team is going to be stuck. I agree with that. I think it was Stats that said it in a previous episode, like what needs to be done eventually should be done immediately. And I love that phrase because it makes so much sense. Like, the Ravens struggled with playing Mark Ingram when he was only getting 1 yard on first downs. They kept handing him the ball and he wasn't doing anything. And then they put J.K. Dobbins in during the back half of the season. They put in Gus Edwards, and all of a sudden their rushing attack is back to over 200 rushing yards per game. Lamar deserves the contract. I believe he's earned a contract. I don't think it'll be the most ever. I think that's an interesting argument, BLG, because I think Mahomes has set the bar, and I think Lamar could argue for more guaranteed, but I don't think he's going to get the most amount of money in the, you know, the terms and the agreements and everything that goes on with it. I think he's going to get absolutely paid, but that's just what you have to do with successful quarterbacks, with the league MVP, the second ever unanimously selected MVP after Tom Brady.
The real crusher with the Flacco deal was that he played the best he's ever played, and then they re-signed him, and he never reached that level of play again. You mentioned the MVP year with Lamar multiple times, and it was incredible. But isn't it entirely possible that we have already seen the best Lamar Jackson that we are going to see? And if that's the case, is it then worth committing that much money to whoever the person may be?
I think they really caught lightning in a bottle that year. I think they didn't have enough tape on him from opposing defenses. I think the Ravens had this brilliant structured offense. They had, you know, playmakers just about everywhere. You know, the offensive line was dominant. They had Orlando Brown Jr. They had Ronnie Stanley. They had Marshall Yanda. Everybody was just strong, powerful, and the scheme was built for every single player on there. And I don't know if we've seen Lamar at his ceiling. He's 24 years old. He'll be 25 in January. So he has this full season to play before he's even hit 25 years old. He's incredibly young, and maybe 36 touchdowns and breaking the NFL rushing record and what he, you know, produced in that season is his peak, but that's an incredible peak. And I assume anybody would ask for that from their quarterback. And if he doesn't perform to that level of expectations, I think you can still pay him and be successful with who he is, who the team has around him, the coaching staff, the players that they have. They have blue chip players at a lot of premier positions. And that's not just on the offense, but it's on defense as well. And the Ravens are successful in drafting, maybe not a wide receiver, as I mentioned previously, but they can draft talented players. And overall, that's what you have to do to be successful in the NFL. After you pay your rookie quarterback, you got to be able to find talent elsewhere. You got to find cheap talent elsewhere. And there's nothing better than doing so in the NFL draft.
And that pressure goes up if you're paying your quarterback big money. Last question for me, and that is, when does the heat start to turn up on Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator there? Because Lamar is a good player. I think he's a better passer than he gets credit for. I know that they want to cater the offense to his skills, and I think that they should. But that doesn't mean that this is the only style offense that they can run. If they have a good regular season and can't get it done in the playoffs again, when do people say, hey, maybe the problem is that when teams have extra time and they ratchet up the pressure in the playoffs, Greg Roman's scheme is not complicated enough to get the job done?
That's already been the case. A lot of almost the entire Ravens fan base was rather surprised that Greg Roman is still on the coaching staff. He has done a lot of successful things with them. You've seen the numbers. We've talked about the numbers. But overall, you are completely and totally right that I think most of the blame isn't on Lamar. It isn't on the defense. The defense has performed admirably. It's on the offensive scheme and the lack of creativity, and also too much creativity at times, trying to go with an option pitch on 3rd and 8 against the Titans at one point, I believe. And it's already on. The hot seat is already hot. And I think within 6 weeks, probably, if I'm remembering the schedule, I know they already play KC in week 2. They play the Raiders in week 1. I believe by week 6, they play the entire AFC West. So I think by that time, we're going to have an understanding of the Ravens offense. And we're going to have an understanding on whether or not Greg Roman sticks through it. And this is actually a time that I want to apologize to Kyle Posey of a different show here, because I argued that Greg Roman would be an excellent complement to the, at the time, Deshaun Watson-led Texans when they were doing their coaching staff search and their head coaching search. And I was like, there's no reason why he shouldn't have Greg Roman on his list. And I was very much wrong by the end of the season. So, Kyle, if you listen, I apologize, and I'm taking my licking here on this episode.
All right. I feel like we've sufficiently beat you. It's 2-on-1. I don't want to like completely grind you into dust. I feel like we've sufficiently defended ourselves. BLG, how do you feel?
I feel good. I will continue to hate on Lamar Jackson all season long, just despite. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think I'm a Lamar hater. I don't. I think I've been pretty fair about him. And I think I think more people earlier on his career were like, oh, he can't win the playoffs. And it was just like the first year or two. And it's like, well, you know, give him a little bit of time. But now it's getting to the point where, like, which just goes back to the, you know, the crux of the episode last week. Like, we need to see it. We need to see something this year. I just feel like we need to see. And maybe it's not going to change, you know, if he's going to get a contract or not. But I just think it'd be really nice to, you know, see a little bit more from Lamar this year in the postseason. It doesn't have to be winning the Super Bowl, but, like, you know, let's get another playoff win at least. Like, another one and done would be pretty disappointing.
I completely agree there. Like, the Ravens' expectations are Super Bowl or bust. They've been that way for the last 3 years because they had so much talent on cheap deals and they were looking to produce like that. It's rather frustrating that it hasn't occurred. And overall, like, that's what the expectations are. Yes, there's going to be obvious disappointment if the Ravens do not produce in the postseason yet again. But it's not just Lamar producing or not producing, unless his stat line's horrible, and then we can call him out. I believe you guys have been really fair with Lamar too, by the way. And I like, overall, yes, I agree. There needs to be production in the postseason, not just the potential of the Ravens in their offense and their scheme. But I don't think winning or losing in the playoffs, being one and done or not, is going to impact his contract unless it's rather significant in what he performed in and produced with.
I agree. Kyle, I want to thank you for coming on. I appreciate you calling us out when you think it's necessary and being willing to come on and address it. From Baltimore Beatdown, by the way, before we go, I want to mention they have an incredible thing happening at Baltimore Beatdown right now. It's called The Forgotten Dynasty, an oral history of the Baltimore Colts. They have interviews. It is a complete narrative that I love, because I feel like the history of football is almost being forgotten in some places. I mean, people are legitimately arguing that Jerry Rice is not the greatest wide receiver of all time. And so when you go back to Johnny Unitas and the Baltimore Colts, like, people don't understand how good these guys were and some of the stories that made them great. So I really like to see that. You should definitely go to Baltimore Beatdown and check that out, Kyle. It is a great idea by you guys.
Yeah, Jake is the one that, you know, really spearheaded this. He and I talked about it. Just he displayed the idea to me. And I was like, dude, if you can run with it, absolutely go for it. And I'm incredibly proud of Jake Luke on creating this masterpiece. And I'm sitting down and listening to every episode as it drops each week. And I'm proud that my, you know, this site, Baltimore Beatdown, is able to kind of have their name a part of it and attached to Jake's work. It's been pretty special.
And there's actually a tease of that series on Monday Football Monday here on the ESPN Nation NFL show. So go listen to Monday's episode if you didn't already to kind of get a taste of it, and then go listen to the whole thing at Baltimore Beatdown.
You can hear the rest of this conversation by subscribing to the ESPN Nation NFL show wherever you get your podcasts.